First sang, song we sang dealt with the peace of God reigning within our hearts and within our lives. And I'm praying for the peace of God to be with Shannon at this time. Amen. Because this coming week is a special time for her.
That's right. Just give me a moment. Amen.
So, Shannon, you're looking forward to this week?
Yes. I'm looking forward to the results. How's that?
That sounds really good, but in order to have results, you have to go through the process.
That's right.
So, and we pray that God will be with you as you go through your surgery, and that his healing hand will be there. His wisdom and his knowledge will be with the doctors as they perform their operations, and that the result will be that you will be able to be here, free of pain, free of suffering, able to do God's work in a better, more functional way. And we pray God's Spirit be with you at that time. And now we pray that the words of your mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be with us, and that God may bless us as you bring his word to us today. Amen. Amen.
It is a good morning. We're kind of hollow in the middle. I should get all you guys to move to the center. No, I won't make you do that. Make you too uncomfortable. All righty. Well, have you ever had a day that didn't start the way you intended it to or envisioned it? Like today. Because, Ted, I'm going to say, I had a morning like that too when I kind of opened my eyes and realized, hey, my room is light. It shouldn't be light yet. What time is it? And then looked at my alarm clock that didn't go off, and it was 8:15. That's like an hour and a half later than I normally get up. So I was a little jolted out of bed, if I could put it that way. And then I was rushing around, of course, as you would, to get ready and get everything going and get you know, stuff prepared and myself prepared mostly. And you know what the saddest part for me was? Is I like to start my day with the Lord. And not that he wasn't there, but I didn't get that time. But here's the thing. The Lord had never left me or forsaken me. The Lord was always with me. And when as I share the message this morning, you'll understand, is I got to remember, I got to rest in it, not getting frantic. Oh, no! What is the message going to be like because I haven't spent time with the Lord this morning? Because that was where my thoughts were going. But praise God who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am always with you in your frantics and in your struggle, in your alarms not going off, or when they go off too early. We have a wonderful Savior. Do you know what else it spoke to me about? I was delighted that my heart was longing for that. That my heart longed to have the time with the Lord. It wasn't like, oh no, I'm not doing what the Lord said to do. I longed to be with him. Do you see the difference? And sometimes we can get into a place where we have such a ritual of things that becomes a burden to us as opposed to a joy. So this morning, we're here on February 1st already. Like, what? Yeah, some of us are clapping our hands. In fact, most of us are because we're saying we're that much closer to summer or spring anyway. Yeah. And so we're delighted in that aspect. So how did we start this year? Jesus is grace and truth, close up and personal. And we looked at the word, our word focus for the year, Jesus, who is grace and truth. He's up close and personal. And this I want us to encourage. How many of you got a chance to encourage somebody else this week or since the beginning of the year, reminding them that Jesus is our grace and our truth? You did. Twice, yes. Way to go, Daniel. That's right. We want to be encouraging not only ourselves in the mirror in the morning, but one another. And let's make this a year to do that. I mean, let's get it into the habit of doing that. Jesus is right here. He's up close and personal. Then we looked at, by one man's obedience. And I'll read to you that scripture that's there, Romans 5, 19 through 4. Just as through the disobedience of one man, Adam, all of us had a sin nature. We're born with it. It wasn't about what we did that made us sinners. We were born sinners, so we were sinning. But also, just, if I can put it that way, just as easily for us, not for Jesus. Through the obedience of one man, who is Jesus, many were made righteous. And 2 Corinthians 5, 21, let's say it together. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Woo! Powerful. By one man's obedience, that's what's happened for us who believe. We have become the righteousness of God in him. Then we looked at Jesus, our good shepherd. And we Jesus in John 10, 11 through 18 talked about the good shepherd. We looked at the parable that he spoke of the good shepherd. And we see how he cares for us and gathers us in and goes after us. In fact, let me read to you, and I'm going to see, did I put it up here? I hope I did. The scripture from Ezekiel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. What we're reading here is from the Old Testament. This is the prophetic word from Ezekiel. This is the heart of the Father, our Heavenly Father towards us. This is who we see in Jesus. And as we look to that, I want you to remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to feed my flock. I'm going to look after them. I'm going to go after the lost. And I love this word. And the ones that were driven away. Who's been driven away from the flock? He's going after them. I will bind up the broken and strengthen what is weak. Anybody feel broken? Anybody feel weak? This is who Jesus is. He is our good shepherd. Well, today I want to talk about Jesus. And you probably read it, our Sabbath rest. Jesus, our Sabbath rest. And I'm going to use some different scriptures that maybe you haven't thought about as it being a part of all the scriptures about Sabbath rest. But anyhow, we're going to start here. Maybe. From Matthew, this is the New King James, says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we hear my yoke is easy, I decided let's do a little word study on the word easy. I'm not going to put it up there. It means fit for use, useful, virtuous, good, manageable, mild, pleasant. What Jesus wants to fit us with is manageable and it's pleasant. It also comes from the understanding that we receive it. It's kind of like the idea of a loan or borrowing something or to take from someone else to use for ourselves and to make use of a thing. I'm giving this to you. Now, it's not a, that's where it comes from, but Jesus isn't going to take it back and say, okay, and there's, by the way, it's a loan. It's not a loan that we take, he's taking back. But what it says is coming from him. And we know it as his favor, his grace. He is fitting us with something that is now. Thank you, Betty. That's, say it louder.
Exchange.
He's exchanging. There's an exchange that takes place. He says, come to me. And I love the idea that he says, "And you will find rest for your souls." What is our soul? Mind? Your will? And emotions. We sometimes get physically tired. And that's going to happen. How many of you are going to go home this afternoon and take a nap? Hello? Day of rest. But he says, listen, you're going to find rest in me for your mind, your will, and your emotion. How many of you have ever not gotten sleep because of where your mind was at? And what happens when our mind is in that spin cycle? Our emotions. How many of you have gone back to a situation that you wish had gone differently, or something happened, and you relive it, and you get into it, and you tell them this, and I should have done that, and blah, 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 and before you know it, and our emotions are, and then we try and lay our head down and go to sleep. But Jesus says, now, take that off. And by the way, don't put it back on. Come to me. What does my word say? What have I said? What have I fitted you with? What has happened in the exchange? You see, the other thing happens when we get into that is it's a great place for the enemy to come in. It doesn't take him much to sometimes get us spinning and thinking outside of things. And well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So let me read to you this scripture in my favorite translation for it. I love the way the Message Bible puts it. And I think I put it here. Let me see. Maybe I didn't. Is this the Message version? Nope, sorry. I'm going to read it to you then. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Now let's just take a pause. What is he talking about? He's talking about works. He's not talking about, I'm going to say, I do not have religion. I'm going to tell you that. I don't have religion. I have a relationship. And the world sees faith of any kind, even Christian faith, as a religion. You have a religion. I want you to start correcting them. Oh, you must be religious. Well, I hope you're not. I hope it's about your relationship. See, religion is about all the doing to be something. But the relationship is about who I already am because of him. It's not about the doing. And we're going to get into that a little more. Are you burnt out on religion? Are you burnt out on trying to do all the right things? Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I'll tell you what, if you've got a phone, Google Message Bible, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, print that out for yourself and stick it on your mirror. Jesus says, and this is where we come to the idea of Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Because it isn't about us anymore. Now, let's remember that Jesus, as he's speaking this, he's speaking this to the people who have lived under the law. The law is given by Moses. Not only that, are now being taught by the Pharisees. And Jesus isn't happy with the Pharisees because they keep putting more burden and more burden on the people. And eventually it has blinded them to be able to see who God really is. Their whole focus is on what can I do? What must I do? God's heart is and always will be to have relationship with us. Right, Ted? That's what he shared. Last point of his sharing this morning. It's about the relationship, what Jesus has done for us to bring us back into relationship. If we take a quick look, step back to the beginning in Genesis, and we know Genesis 1 is about God creating. And every day, there was night and there was day, and day one, day four, day six, all the way through, and there was a few other days in the middle there. And then we're at day six, and then we go to chapter 2 that talks about day 7. And starting in verse 1, it says, so the creation of the heaven and the earth and everything in them was complete. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. Because it was the day he rested from all the work of creation. Now I want us to go back to day 6. What was the last thing God created on day 6? Mankind, Adam and Eve. And where did he place them? In the garden he had planted in Eden. If you read it, it doesn't say the Garden of Eden. In the garden he planted in Eden. Who planted the garden? God did. And he put them there. So that first day, we know that Adam did some naming of the animals and Eve came along and all of those wonderful things in creation. But then God, the very next day, stopped and rested from all his work. It was finished. And what did he do? He enjoyed his creation. The creator enjoyed his creation with the created, with Adam and Eve. He enjoyed. So now we can know the rest of the story is the fall. But the interesting thing in the fall is there was the promise of redemption made by God in the garden. That something else was coming. And we know all of the stories of the Old Testament, or maybe we don't. We know most of them. Noah and the Ark and King David and all the things that went on in between and Moses and the Ten Commandments. But we come forward to Jesus on the cross. And what does he say? What is his last crying out? He cries out, and it's with an exclamation mark. It is finished. It is finished. And then we know he was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose on the third day, which happened to be the first day of a new week. On the first day of the new week. And it is significant for us to understand that what was also finished is the demands of the old covenant. And when he rose again at the beginning of the new week, there's a new covenant in place. And again, Ted shared with us this morning that new covenant happened because he rose from the dead. We're under a new covenant. We're no longer under the law. How many of you would like to say hallelujah to that? Amen. So be it. Thank you, Jesus. The old covenant is done, and the new covenant is here. Okay, let's see if you can quote with me 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. Anyone is in, they are a, the old is gone. Depends on the translation. So let me read it from my translation here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The new has come. The old has gone. The new passed away, gone. The new is here. The new is. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us unto himself through Christ. Is your sins wiped away as far as the east is from the west? Is the new here? Are you a new creation in Christ? It is finished. What is finished? The old covenant. It's finished. The new Christian life is about freely having a relationship with a loving Father, loving God, Papa, Papa. We have freedom. Jesus made this relationship for us absolutely secure, and it is forever. And we want to press in and believe it. Because as we believe what he's done, it starts transforming you from the inside out. We know that, some of us. Oh, I've heard this many times. But you know why I'm bringing it back? Well, you'll see in a minute. We need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged. How many of you remember the story about Paul having to go back to Peter? Not the first time, but quite a while after, and kind of give him a little smack. Peter, what are you doing? Because Peter was starting to go back under the law instead of staying in the rest and the finished work of Jesus. And sometimes we have to be reminded. We start hearing things. We've got things coming at us from all over the world and different teachings, and we're always going after something else, which is, you know what? It's okay, but sometimes we need to stop and say, is this under the old law or is it under the new covenant? Stinking thinking, that's right. Now, in all your struggles, here's the question, are you trying to fix yourself? Even with Christian doing. I'll run to the next event. I'm going to listen to the next big guy. Oh, they must be, because look at the numbers of people that are following them. But I want to tell you, you need to watch it, because you're taking your eyes off of Jesus and putting it on men. Because you're struggling with your stuff and you're relying on yourself to figure out, to get an understanding of how to fix it. And it's no longer about you trying. It's no longer about you trying to be righteous. It's about believing what Jesus did that has made you righteous. And it's about resting in that finished work. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And now, again, in your relationship with your Heavenly Father, you can freely receive all the love and grace he has for you. That's right. You don't have to try and get it. You don't have to try and earn it. You can't do enough good or enough righteous-looking things to become righteous. It's about believing what Jesus has done for us. And man, that's hard for this fleshy person who says, I can do it. Do you remember the Israelites coming out of Egypt and they're at the foot of Mount Sinai and then Moses is going up and he talks to God and he comes back down. It's interesting. He comes back down and he shares what God has said. And they said, yes, that's good. We will do whatever God tells us to do. And then Moses goes back up to the mountain and he writes down the Ten Commandments. He's gone 40 days. Come on, Moses. Come on, Moses. We should make a god. We should make an idol. 40 days. Took him 40 days to forget. We can do it. The truth was God knew they never could. The truth is God was preparing to help them understand their sin nature. They never could, you never will ever be able to follow the law to make yourself righteous. Listen to what God did. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace, unmerited favor, in his kindness towards us in Christ. God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were a mess, a rotten, stinking thinking, self-righteous, or self-defeating, addicted, tormented, depressed, angry, backbiting, gossiping. I mean, I could go on, right? Little white lie person, denying person. Even in all of that, even when we were dead in all of that, by grace, did anything we read there, do you hear anything in it that says you have done something that you can do to earn it or deserve it or work for it? No. Because it's all about what God did through Jesus. It's a work God has done through Jesus. It is a finished work. I said, well, you're not finished with me yet, God. Yes, he is, in the sense of, it's not like, yeah, I'm finished with you. That's not what it is. He has finished all that we need and all that is required for life and godliness. And as believers, you are seated together with Christ. And where is Christ seated? Right hand of the Father, right hand of majesty. Oops. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty. In this section of Hebrew, he's talking about Jesus being a part of the order of Melchizedek, our high priest. And when does a high priest sit down? When the work is done. When the work is done. So, what does it mean to be seated together in heavenly places in Christ? That the work in you is done. Now, don't get too far ahead of me here. It means today, right now, you are positioned in rest in Christ's finished work. It's not about striving. It's not about attempting to be righteous. It's not attempting to do right and all that kind of thing. And don't get too panicked about that yet. In fact, let it down. Rest. It's a finished work. What sin did he pay for? All of them. Except yours, though, right? Now they're still forgiven. You're just hanging on to them. Yeah. You're still hanging on to them if you think they're not forgiven. Let them go. You see, when we believe, we have come to be seated with Christ, and that means to rest. Rest in trusting what he has done. Rest to receive every wonderful gift and provision he made through his finished work that has been accomplished on your behalf. It's on your behalf. You're no longer under the law of the Old Testament. You're under the new covenant of grace. We are resting from all our attempts to be righteous, because you are already been made righteous in Christ. And our Heavenly Father wants you to take a seat, so to speak. Take that position of resting in Jesus. Instead of trying and relying on the good works and your human effort to achieve righteousness, remember God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So does that mean you're only righteous if you do the right thing? No. But sometimes we can get beguiled. And this is where I'm wanting to encourage us as believers who have heard this preached here time and time again. But sometimes we get so used to things, we forget. The enemy wants to beguile you. The devil wants to beguile you and get you to look at yourself in all your struggles and become self-conscious and self-occupied and self-condemning. And you know what? There's many in the world who want to listen to the voice of the enemy, and even fellow believers who have themselves given their ear to the devil's beguiling. The voice that is trying to get you to step out of your Sabbath rest in Jesus and try to be obedient by your own efforts. Your own efforts to do the right thing. Oh, where's my bucket of stones? Is she preaching heresy? No, I'm not. I'm preaching Jesus. I'm preaching the gospel, because it is a finished work. And he, the devil, wants to keep reminding you of your past, of your present failures, of your flaws, your weaknesses, your mistakes, your blemishes, how rotten and how awful you are. Did you have that thought? Did you actually do that thing? How can you say you are a righteous believer in Jesus? And he keeps you in self-consciousness, sin consciousness, and in a cycle of defeatedness, if that's a word. You see, the good-intentioned believer will tell you, you need to try harder to do the right thing. Well, let me tell you, we're going to take a little look at Hebrews. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which they draw near to God. In the Old Testament, well, actually, even in Hebrews 3:19, if you want to write that down, we see where the Israelites did, where they couldn't enter into the promised land, couldn't enter into his rest, was because of their unbelief. So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. That's Hebrews 3:19. They're trying hard. Well, it wasn't even that. It was about their unbelief. And our trying hard says that we don't believe. If I'm trying to do it in my strength, I don't believe. And what is unbelief? And the law can jump all over that. And the enemy likes to use the law. It doesn't mean the law was not good, no, but we're going to get to that in just a minute. You see, you're trying hard to do the right thing is not going to get you anywhere. But I like the way Joseph Prince put it. You see, he puts it this way: right believing produces right living, not right trying. When we believe right, we will live right and love right. When we try harder to do the right thing, we put ourselves under the Old Testament law. And the truth is, it doesn't line up for us. It is finished. It is done away. Remember, we said it's the old has passed away and the new has come? We're a new creation. And our focus should be Jesus. Our focus should be what he has done. Our struggle isn't with right behaving, but it's with right believing. So instead of looking at yourself, look to Jesus, who is your Sabbath rest. And I'm not saying we don't have struggles, but when we do, turn to him. Look at his word. Look at the promises he has made. Look what his finished work has accomplished for you. And as we focus in on that, and as we focus in on him and what he's done, transformation starts to happen in here. It's transformation that brings about the right living. And it flows out of a heart that is yielded and surrendered. We want to put our focus back on Jesus. Here's what Jesus says. This again. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. How many of you have ever thought of the Old Testament law as useless? For the law made nothing perfect. I'm trying to live the perfect life, Jesus. Stop trying. Start trusting. And it flows from that heart. Anybody think you might have a few hiccups, stumbles, or trip-ups? But don't let the enemy come and say, "See?" Take it up with Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that by what you have done, that finished work on the cross, I see that mistake on that cross, in that grave, buried and done. We don't like to hear that sometimes when we have a little bit of religion in our heart, in our thinking, in our understanding. Because what if people hear this message and run amok? and sin and lawlessness. Boy. But what Jesus has done. Where did he go and visit? Who did he talk to? Who did he spend more time with? Who listened to him? And the sinners. The ones who needed him the most. Well, truthfully, they all needed him the most. Ones who recognized their need. So again, instead of looking at yourself, look to Jesus, who took care of the sin issue. And I think if they hear the good news of the gospel, the good news that says it's a finished work, what do you think might start happening? Transformation. Who wants religion?
Me.
Who sometimes sees a little religion here? But I thank God. I thank God for what Jesus has done. I have a question for you. Thinking about Jesus, do you think he's accepted and acceptable by God? Anybody think he's not? Let me ask you again, and if you think he's acceptable by God, put up your hand. Is Jesus acceptable by God? Are you in Christ? Are you then acceptable and accepted by God? Yes. And you know that based on your Bible reading, your prayer time, your time spent volunteering at the cupboard, your time running out in the community, and what do you base that on? Faith in Jesus. You see, because it's not all about you. Those things are wonderful and good, and those flow from your heart, or hopefully flow from your heart, that just says, I just love what Jesus is doing in me, and I can't wait to share the good news about Jesus with everybody and every opportunity I get. See, it's not about me anymore. It's about what he did, and I get to be free from all of that other stuff. I get to be free from my sin. I get to be free from my religion. I get to be free from my addictions. I get to be free to be loved, even though I may not feel like I'm worthy of it, even though I may not have done all the right things. I love the story about the woman who's at Jesus' feet at the meal at the tax collector's house, and she's weeping and pouring perfume and all of that, and Simon the Pharisee says, you know, why are you letting this woman do that? In fact, I think they're whispering. And he says, leave her alone. Because he said, do you know what that woman is? That's what they're saying. Does he know what that woman is? And Jesus says, leave her alone. See, the one who's been forgiven much loves much. What have you been forgiven of today? Man, some of us, we have to let go of our past and recognize that Jesus has washed us away. And when that happens, boy, the love that fills our heart, the love is already there. I've got love like an ocean. And it's all because of oh, the truth we sing. Where did that song come from? That came up in the heart of somebody who is enjoying the fellowship and relationship with God. And it's all because of Jesus. I have peace, I have joy, I have love. And not just a little bit, rivers of peace, fountains of joy, oceans of love. God is one who lavishes. He's telling me my time is just about up. We base the fact that we're acceptable only on what Jesus has done. And you know this because God's word has said you're in Jesus. And you being in Jesus, where should your focus be? On you? On him. Let's get our focus off ourselves and our struggles and put it back on him and say, Jesus, what did you do with this struggle? What did you do for me? What did you do for us? And get our minds thinking on that. In fact, instead of what did you do, you might say, thank you that you did. Thank you that you did. You took care of this, and I want to focus on you. Again, we don't want to come under the old covenant law that was about you. Did you ever think about this? The law was about you trying to do what God said. He knew you couldn't, but we could do it. We'll do anything God says. Like the children of Israel standing out at the mountain saying, we'll do it. 40 days later, they're building a gold calf. But now, the better has come. A better hope has been introduced, and his name is Jesus, and he is the one we can rest in. It's so... Let's go to, whoops. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had this scripture here. Jesus said this, don't think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish it, but fulfill them. Did Jesus fulfill them? Okay, are you in him? Are they fulfilled in you then? They're fulfilled in you. Because as he is, so are we in this world. That's 1 John 4:17. So when we look at the Old Testament did this. It placed the demands on you to get it right. Even when it came to loving God. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and strength. Great, but the truth is, what do we know in the New Testament? It's not that we first loved him, it's that he first loved us, right? That all our attempts at trying aren't going to get it there, but when we understand that he loves us, what he did for us through Jesus, the righteousness we have in Jesus because of Jesus, not because of our works, not because of anything we could do. You see, the law made us sin conscious. The new covenant of grace and love makes us Jesus conscious. God so loved. Grace places all the demands of the law on Jesus. And we are in him. And here's the neat thing is when we start believing right, when we start understanding what he's done, when we start writing that truth on our hearts, guess what starts flowing out of us? The right living, the righteous living. It isn't an effort. It flows out of us. And when we're not believing right, that's when we come as to one another, fellow believers, not to say, you better get that right, and you better start living right. But say, you're struggling, and I can see that. Let me remind you of who we have in Jesus and what he's already done. Remember, brother and sister, who you already are. And we get our identity from that, not from what we do. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their examples of disobedience. Who was the disobedient? It was the children of Israel who would not enter their rest because they wouldn't believe God and his word. We are under a new covenant created through the blood of Jesus. And every time we take communion, we're reminded of that covenant, that by his body and by his blood, what has happened for us until he returns. So this is what Jesus says. Are you tired? Are you worn out, burnt out on your religious efforts? Come away with me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. And I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me?